proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Republic for the United States of America. You may call me Kelby. I am an American. Today is an exciting day. It's October 9th, 2014. It's going to be the second part in a three-part series regarding Agenda 21. You will not want to miss last week's call, this week's call, or next week's call. This call is an introduction for the people of the United States of America Corporation, their employees, law enforcement, 14th Amendment citizens, and men and women of our armed services. The Republic government, which is us, called the Republic for the United States of America, has been re-inhabited. We are law-abiding, peaceful Americans. We are very pro-government. You can consider it that the Republic members are simply anti-corruption. We have loving fathers, mothers, sons, daughters. We have families just like you. We simply found some truths, and we're now sharing these important truths with the rest of the world. So get ready to hear things that sound impossible. Get ready to understand that you, too, can be a part of history. We welcome each one of you to the Republic for the United States of America. But before we get started, I'd like to ask our Vice President if you'd please open us up in prayer. Dan?
Thank you, Kelby. Certainly. Father, we just thank you again for your mercy to us. We thank you, Father, for your protection, for your care, for your great love for us. Father, we pray that you'd help the guests and the speaker on the call tonight, Father, that they would bring forth more evidence, more truth, and educate the people, Father. Again, we thank you for all that you've done and all that you're doing, that you in the restoration of your government here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight's going to be a great call. A friend of mine, the Republic Chapman, Wade Butler, this is the second appearance on this subject matter pertaining to Agenda 21. My other friend, Bob Barnett, the host for the call, is going to make introductions, and Bob, I yield.
Thank you, Kelby, and this is a really, really important subject for everyone. We have to cover this. We have to understand this. Agenda 21 is the guiding, if you will, structure that is consuming the Republic. It is 23 years old, 24 years old now, almost, and it is the United Nations plan to consume the United States. This subject is more important for you to understand than almost any other, because you are being guided, profiled, run down the cattle chute every single day towards the ultimate goal of a total and complete structure. I'm going to quickly tell you, I had occasion to take my son to a job site. He's construction, he runs a crew. He had a crew member, which was hired from a work release program, and he was describing Agenda 21, and the man who was on a work release program from prison said, sounds like one great big prison to me. And with that, I'm going to give it to Wade so he can explain that great big prison we're trying to walk right into. Wade?
Thank you, Bob and Kelby. And Kelby, it's good to be on a call with you again, as always. Been too long, my friend. Last week we opened up and talked about Agenda 21, and a lot of people might question, what does a chaplain know about Agenda 21? Well, I happen to be the chaplain. I spent for the Republic. I pastored for 27 years in Houston, been a businessman for 45 years, and accomplished a lot of things, and I'm fairly well-read. I yield to Kelby and Bob, as Kelby is one of the best-read individuals that I know as far as being well-read on topics, subjects, Constitution, the nation. I got involved with Agenda 21 because I represent in my business right now 25 different green technologies. And when you put the word green on something, it raises up all kinds of flags. You put the word green because you're trying to get business. You're trying to adhere to government contracts. You're trying to do certain things that will improve your chance of doing business. And with state-of-the-art technologies that I represent, it is to our advantage. Now, because of that, I've been invited into some very interesting meetings. I have attended UN meetings, congressional meetings, because they consider that I'm knowledgeable on a lot of these situations. I've been in different parts of the world representing both the UN, individual contractors, and groups that I dealt with. And I've sat in on meetings of the Black Caucus. I was the only white boy there. And if any blacks are on the call, that's fine. But I went to Africa as their token to try to correct a situation that was going on in spending UN money. It's quite interesting what goes on and why and how the UN plans to change the nation. They are not just changing our nation, it's every nation. Every nation that's part of the UN, there's 190 nations out there that are registered as nations. 172 of them are recognized within the UN and have seats that I could be off now, but that's what it was. And there are actually two nations that are not given national or international status as of yet. So there's 192 nations out there, and it's a world plan. Back in April, I sat in on some very confidential meetings, and those meetings talked about the plans for the UN to literally enact the Agenda 21 in every segment of our life. Now, I'm going to give you the 5 points we covered last week, just to give you an overview, and then I'm going to give you the next 5 to 10 points that we want to deal with, because it is critical that we understand what's going on around us. So often as a pastor, you teach a very hard message about repentance or change and what God's saying, and people say, I don't want to hear that. And they're like the proverbial picture of an ostrich sticking your head in the sand. And you cannot do that. We cannot allow ourselves to stick our head in the sand and miss what's going on around us, because they are taking over. They're taking over in education with the CORE education program, which is absolutely anti-biblical, anti-United States, anti-Constitution. They're taking over through our cities' governments, through our state governments, and naturally nationally. The plans to put in place one world military, one world banking system, one world education system, one world health system, was all outlined to me in a meeting back in spring. And I was there for 5 days, 12 hours a day, looking at what was going on and how and why and what they're doing to fund these things. And it was very, very disturbing. So let me go back and hit you with the first 5 principles and let you see what they're dealing with. I'm going to give you some key information, and I'm going to tie in tonight a very, very big point. Bob was active in the ranch in Utah, and he's very knowledgeable about what's going on the borders, the wetlands, the national parks, and we're going to talk about those things, because environmentalism is a key component of Agenda 21. They have tied in the EPA. They've tied in all the different government agencies, 5 different government agencies to use to come in and literally terrorize people into doing what they require being done, even though none of this has been enacted as law. Let's go back and look at this. In Rio de Janeiro, the Rio Declaration of Environment and Development by the United States Conference, United Nations Conference on Environment and Development, meeting from June 3rd to June 4th, 1992, It goes back to that which was the human environmental conference adopted in Stockholm in 1972. Reagan was the only president that did not push any of these agendas, but Bush Sr., Clinton, Bush Jr., and now Obama, through president edicts, has forced this down our throats. The work of FEMA, the work of the EPA, which was an educational group, organization in the beginning to educate people on the environment and safety and concerns, has now become the strong arm, Nazi type approach to enforcing environmental issues, even though there's no law to do so. They're all presidential edicts. So let's look at these principles. Principle one, human beings are the center of concerns for sustainable development. They're entitled to a healthy and productive life in harmony with nature. Now, I want you to understand, you could underword the three last words, harmony with nature. So nature is more important than humans, first principle. Number two, the states have, in accordance with the Charter of the United Nations and the principles of international law, and it doesn't say the international law, it says the principles of international law, the sovereign right to exploit their own resources pursuant to their own environmental and developmental policies, and the responsibility to ensure the activities within their jurisdiction are controlled, do not cause that no damage is caused to the environment of that state or any of the areas belonging to the limits of national jurisdiction. What we're talking about here is we have what's called legal speak, or the dialectic process, twisting words to mean something other than what you believe they're saying, and the general public is kind of taking this. Kelby's good about pointing these things out with his work. Principle three, the right to development must be fulfilled as to the equitability to meet developmental and environmental needs of the present and future generations. Again, environment, environment, environment. Number four, in order to achieve sustainable development, environmental protection, here's where the EPA came in, shall constitute an integral part of the development process and cannot be considered isolated from it. Number five, all states and all peoples will cooperate. Okay? They shall cooperate in the essential task of eradicating poverty as an indispensable requirement for sustainable development. Now, here comes in the Obamacare taxation laws. It's the Robin Hood Act. Taking from those that have worked hard and giving to those that have not worked. Taking from the rich and giving to the poor. In order to decrease the disparities in standards of living and meet the needs of the majority of people of the world. Okay, now we're going to go into six. So those first five were the topics that we talked about last week. There's going to be some intertwining between all of them. But here's what really gets you. You start going into these next categories. Number six, the special situation and needs of developing countries, particularly the least developed and most environmentally vulnerable. And I believe, you need to save the forest. You need to do a lot of things. You need to clean up the environment. But they become more important, again, than the people. Number seven, states shall cooperate in the spirit of global partnershiping to conserve, protect and restore the health and integrity of the that's quite interesting in the fact that it's stating that that you shall, the states shall cooperate with the international community. They have common but differential responsibility. The developing countries acknowledge the responsibility that they have to adhere to these international guidelines to achieve sustainable development and higher equality and quality of life for all people. Number nine, states should cooperate to strengthen the capacity for building sustainable development and improving scientific understanding through exchange of scientific technology and knowledge. You know, all this sounds really good, and I'm actually involved in a lot of these things. Number 10, the environmental issues are best handled with the participation of concerned citizens as to the relevance of the level of that state's need, and at a national level, each individual shall have appropriate access to the information concerning their environment, which is held by public authorities, including information on hazardous materials and activities in their communities. Again, this sounds good, it's very important. The opportunity to participate in the decision-making process shall be available, and states shall facilitate and encourage public awareness. Now, this sounds all fine and good. It does. I mean, this is really good. The only problem is the strong arm of the EPA and the other agencies. So let me give you what is happening on the environment. I don't know how many of you, but I want to have seen this movie, but Avatar. Avatar was about citizens of Earth going to another planet and taking advantage of those natives and taking their prime assets to come back because they had destroyed their own planet, being the planet Earth. It was no longer green. It was stripped of all assets, and they had to go to other planets to take the assets. That whole movie was to start educating young people and adults that, you know, the military is bad, the capitalism is bad, and the only thing they're after is out to steal everything from the weak. And it created, or helped create, environmentalism as a religious worldview. It is, you know, it is a movement that is taking environmentalism, and it's actually a planned movement to make environmentalism a religion. And God is not, this is not of God. It is a movement to shift the emphasis from we the people to we the trees. And is opposite of what Yahweh says. Now, we do have to take care of things. We do need to keep things clean. I'm not against any of these things to help our environment. But I'm going to read you what is stated on the American Policy Center, and this is one of the best websites you can go to, AmericanPolicyCenter.org. Talking about the environment, this is some of the key topics that they have stressed. On August 9, 2012, Environment and Poverty Act. Okay, now, this came into play. Now, what is that? Well, literally, each one of these allows the governing agencies to come in and take away things that have been done for generations, farming, wells, lakes, ponds, all these things. Environmental protection of global governance. So the EPA is becoming the primary global governance agency. The reality of the green world, I beg your pardon, and Tom DeWeese did an excellent job here. He said it's like three wolves and a sheep voting on what to have for lunch. Well, you know, if you're the sheep, the three wolves are going to have you for lunch. Animal rights and the globalist agenda. They're concerned that animals have greater rights than we do. Now, there's this big outcry. Many of you are seeing the current information about the Ebola plague that's going to go worldwide. And since we've not closed our borders, terrorism is actually going to be using that. It's one of the plots. And this one nurse who has Ebola, dog, is going to have to be put to death. And there's a national outcry the cruelty that's being done to this dog. Well, forget about the nurse who's dying. You know, this dog is going to have to be put to death because it can spread the virus. And there are more people raising up and concerned about the dog and animal rights than they are about the human rights. This is a key issue. Animal rights are not animal welfare. And that's becoming an attitude. You know, that the animal welfare state is rising up. And the fact that green environmentalists, now, like I said, I represent green companies, but we have things that are not going to use fossil fuels, pure water situations that are not going to require the chemicals. Those are the kind of things I represent. But the green agenda is to use scare tactics to shut down everything else that doesn't agree with them. Climate gate, okay? The whole lie and conspiracy about global warming. Scientists have proved that it's a normal shift cycle that the world is going through. So I'm just giving you some headers here. The myth about global warming. I'm going to read some of those myths today and what it's all about. Man-made global warming. Well, yeah, we contributed to it, but the Earth also does, and the seas are rising, but in other areas of the world, the climate's colder than it's ever been. So when you look at these things, and the fact that environmentalism is actually becoming a religion, you have to go, wait a minute, what are we doing here? That, remember I talked about Avatar? They worshipped their mother planet. And that became the god that they served. So elements of sustainability have shifted over into emotionalism to the point that environmentalism has now become that which is worshipped. Animal rights are becoming more important than human rights. Sustainable development planning process has been taken into the city level where literally they're supposed to give the citizens the opportunity to be in on these meetings and vote whether they want to bring in these actions and goals and targets on what they're planning to do for the benefit of the city. But the city planners are doing it without, I mean, they're doing this behind closed doors. So you've got to learn from what Agenda 21 actually is. It's not just sustainable development. It's a racing across the nation, getting the people to be re-educated or re-educating people to the actuality that the environment and the land is more important than we are, that generations of ownership of properties can be taken over by the government, that green zones can be established. You can no longer fish, hunt, have recreation on these areas. You can no longer trespass on these areas. And if you have been running cattle, what was the ranch, Bob, in Utah? You went there. Bob?
You're talking about the Clive Bundy Ranch?
Yeah, the Bundy Ranch. Yeah, thank you, Kelby.
You got it.
You know, the whole issue they were saying was about tortoise. The truth came out. Most of you should know what that truth is. Harry Reid's son had a contract with the Chinese, and that BLM land has been signed over by Clinton to the Chinese. They own our national parks. Matter of fact, they own the deeds to our national parks. And there's no need debating about it. You can actually look it up. The purpose was to build a solar farm that the Chinese were building, wanted to build on Bundy's Ranch. It had nothing to do with the tortoise, but the EPA was using the tortoise that was being stomped down by the cattle, and even though cattle have been going on that property for, what, six, seven generations, Kelly? That had been run on that ranch.
Yeah, over 100 years.
Over 100 years. And they were using that agenda with the EPA as the strong arm, sending in black ops units, basically. They pulled Homeland Security people from all over the country. So no one person, no one area, these people cannot be targeted for retribution for coming in and strong-arming somebody off their property, trying to make the owner of the property look like the bad guys. Well, they've just passed some new presidential edicts that Bob and I were talking about the other day, where they're going to come in and make areas up to 600 miles, swatches of areas, coastal lands and other things, where people have had their homes for generations, where businesses are, environmental safe areas for the birds, fish, other things, and they're going to take away the property from people. They've already got it. They're enacting these things. So according to the authors of this work, which is not, by the way, been put into law, it's been put upon us by this presidential decrees to enforce the Agenda 21, which was international, to allow them to redistribute property, wealth, to reeducate our children, to bring about what they call and what Obama stated at the UN meeting several weeks ago, was that the populace of the United States were not equipped intellectually or otherwise to handle the changes that were needed for enacting the guidelines of the UN, and therefore they had to be led and controlled. Well, you know, you can look that up. It's 19 seconds. Who's doing that? Well, local governments for sustainable environmental initiatives are set up to do it. The Renaissance Planning Group, the International City and County Management Group, the Mayor's Conference, the Governor's Association, the League of Cities, the National Association for Administrations and Administrators, partnering with private concerns such as Harry Reid's son and the Chinese to bring in what they believe is going to be the best for their idea of what the environment is. Common Core education, like I said, is another big one. And when you look back at the different presidents, and I voted for the Bushes, I was a very strong Republican, Bush Sr., Newsom and the family, and he started the ball really rolling. And then Clinton, and then Bush Jr., and now Obama, and their whole plans are to implement Agenda 21, its processes and actions, that every person on earth will be called to make changes in their activities, their finances, and their properties for the betterment of the world. So there's an urgency in this and what they're doing, because we as a people just really hadn't been educated on it. So we've got to understand that we must take the place to secure our rights within this Agenda 21. So I'm going to give you some facts and myths and a few more comments and then and open it up. And the partners that they're partnering with are very scary groups. Like I said, the Chinese, the entire leadership of the Democratic Party are partnering with these groups. Monsanto is one of their partners. So you got to look at some of the myths. And I talked about them briefly last week, but I just want to go over them real quick again. And we're going to go into more detail later. And next
hey,
week, Dr. Marlene.
Wait, can I...
Make your announcement. Yes, sir.
Yeah, just a quick point of order. This is by presidential decree. We now have a commercial break, and I have to plug the Wednesday night call and the website. If you could just give me 30 seconds, it would be appreciated. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a full series of phone calls Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday pertaining to the Republic. The Wednesday call is very important. It's building the state conference call. We encourage you guys to be on the call. The number for the call is 605-562-3140, and the code is 133512#. And the playback number, if you want to hear last week's call, 605-562-3149. The same playback number is 133512#. Now, I will say, if all these calls are posted on the website, republic4theunitedstates.org. If you already haven't gone there and signed up to receive information, all calls are sent out to the people that signed up on that website so they can get information. We really do need the people for exactly what Wade is talking about tonight, to get organized locally, to start building their states. This republic is real. It's not it's not an organization in so much as it's literally the only lawful form of government on this land. And we want to and encourage you to study and get behind your knowledge so that you can come and be a part and feel like you understand really what's going on. Wade, I yield the floor back to you.
Thanks, sir. I'm going to hit a couple key points like Kelby's talking about. We've got to be educated on this, people. And I want you to go, again, to Tom DeWeese's American Policy Center and read up on it. And, again, Dr. Marlene McMillan, next week we're going to be off. The following Thursday we're going to have Dr. McMillan talk about core education. I got involved in it because of ministry and what they were doing. You know, the fact is that they try to – it's a myth. They come in and with their agencies and police, they come in and say, this is state and federal law supporting our policies for these things. Well, the fact is, it's not a legal document, Agenda 21. It does not infringe on any sovereignty of any nation or any people. So therefore, it is represented by a series of documents that was signed by the leaders of those nations being acted by presidential decrees and imposed upon the people rather than being passed by the law, by Senate. Congress did not have to have any approval, and it's not a treaty. So therefore, it's actually false. But they are bringing it in and forcing it on us. You know, the whole truth about it is that everything that the EPA and the Agenda 21 processes is based on half-truths and misleading. No federal government, agency, nor mandate for local planning is in place, and it does not require local funding. They're going to do it through federal grants and funds and partnerships like the Chinese that Reed's son was involved with. You know, so they can enforce their sustainability plans, you know, where they control our food, they control our water, even though you're sitting there voting on these things. Well, wait a minute. I want to know what part of the Agenda 21 is coming into play and what national and international enactments are coming into play in your city, your state. You know, when you go through this myth about it, if the planners do not directly promote social equity, HUD steps in and attaches their livability standards to the community plans, and now they come in. So in any given community where you were zoned that could only have housing or this, that, and the other, you can end up having HUD homes right next to a very expensive gated community because the area has to be HUD livability standards for that area to get the federal money. So, you know, growth management, comprehensive planning, zoning agendas, these are all controlled by the Agenda 21. It's not the city commissioners. It's not the planning commission. So you have to get involved with this. So, again, I want you to read about the whole truth and what is being said about Agenda 21, about what the truth is and how mostly it's misleading. The Fifth Amendment and the Constitution protects our private property. However, they're using eminent domain to come in and take your property, to use easements, which are legal under state laws, to take away owners' rights and take away the value of the property. This actually happened to me. I had an $8.5 million piece of property, and I fought them all the way up to the Supreme Court. By the time I got through, they paid us $3.5 million, and I spent most of it fighting. So, you know, you can lose everything you've got, as most of you know, many of you already have. So what you have to understand is that Agenda 21 is being enacted upon us. It's being slipped in. It's being brought into the education system. It's being brought in through the movies. It's being brought in through environmental controls. It's being brought in through the government agencies, and they're not even set up as law. So I want to open up if people have questions or if there's other discussion. Bob had some things he wanted to talk about, and I know he's driving. He had quite a drive to get back to his area. But I wanted to
touch on the It's my understanding way we were going to not do Q&A tonight because of the circumstances with Bob being on the road. And I know you don't have any issue with talking for hours upon end, so if you could just keep going and let us know whatever you can. Maybe next week we'll do Q&A.
All right. Well, you know, Kelby's...
I'm here on the road, but I think I'm reconnecting.
Okay.
All right. The most important things that we need to get across is we can't obviously have Wade cover book and page and read the entire hundreds of pages, but we want to get across the urgency and the fact that it's in your backyard, it's in your pocketbook, it's in your realities of what liberties you have, not only in property, but in activity. Consider this. You have a classed society in Agenda 21. You are in which class? That's the question. I don't recall anything that the Founding Fathers ever believed would lead to a classed society. I don't think any of us ever thought in terms of that. But if you think back over the last 30 years or so, we keep...
Uh-oh. We lost him.
Uh-oh.
All right, well, let me hit what
he's
talking
about. This is Brenda. Brenda. He dropped off the call. I just wanted to interject, folks, if for some reason your phone just cuts out. We've had this happen a lot lately, and not sure what the issues are, but just try to call back in. I know I got dropped off. My husband got dropped off. Bob, this is twice now, so just hold in there and just try again. You may get a busy signal. Just try again. So with that, I'll yield, and Bob, I'm sure, will be back with us. Thank you, Wade.
Okay. You know, the big issues and what I wanted to talk about the meetings that I attended, I have been on some of the, like I said, I've been on meetings with Martin Luther King's proteges. I've been in meetings with environmental groups to talk about some of these issues. And it's you literally have life and death between the two different systems, capitalism and socialism. It is a socialism agenda to take control of everything that you have. It's just like, and Kelby and I in the past, I believe, have talked about some of these issues in years past. You take a look at your deed, and let's just say you pay your property off and you don't go through the process that a lot of things that Kelby and his group are teaching about to get your title. You get a deed in trust, and you've got to ask, who owns the trust? And you have to start following the trail, follow the money trail. And that money trail leads you that the state owns part of the trust. Washington, D.C. Corporation owns part of the trust. The City of London, which is an independent sovereign system within itself, which is basically the elitist, owns part of the trust. And it goes back to the Vatican owns the trust. So, you know, Queen Elizabeth gets money from our, the IRS, the tax system, you know, it goes all the way back to those different things. And what's happening is there's a shift right now going on worldwide. There are people that are fighting this, the systems. And one of them is the BRIC system. The Russians, the Chinese actually have more gold than the rest of the world. Chinese have the most gold and get over in Indonesia and stuff. And they don't particularly want to go with this. So the war... the life and death between the different system, between the one world order, and which is socialism. So you say, well, Russia doesn't want to do this. Russia doesn't want to do this. No, the communism socialism system is still intact. It just hasn't raised its evil head as quick, recently, as strong as it used to. But it's coming back. But they've initiated a brick banking system, try to put gold as the standard, and so has China. China is actually the leader in this. And they're trying to get a basis off the U.S. dollar as the standard for world trade, and we call it the petrodollar, and become an international standard for resetting the currencies worldwide. Well, that life and death struggle between the two systems, the IMF and the World Bank and the one world government and those that want to be controlled that way versus the other side, is getting ready to come to a head. It's coming to a head very quickly. Lyndon LaRoche puts out a publication every week, and it's pretty good stuff. I mean, it is, you've got to look at what is the new economic, international economic order that's coming into play. And these things have been developed for years. Matter of fact, when I sat down with the leaders from the UN and the banking community that I was with in these meetings, I said, how long has this been planned? They said, centuries. I said, really? I said, do you believe that this one world order that you all are planning and that you all are funding and that you are using Agenda 21 to help pull it together to control the people, the education system, even the movies and things that are going on, you believe that the people are going to just sit there and accept it? And he says, oh, it's already been enacted for the last 100 years, and we're just coming to a head in some systems where we don't care if people know about what we're doing or not. Because we're so far down the road, very few of them are going to be able to do anything to stop it. And I said, right. You don't think that the people are not going to stand up? And they says, they really don't care. And they says, we've got the money. We've got the control. We're taking over the banks. They literally told me that there was only going to be 4 banks left in the United States. And what they were, and Citibank was going to be for international trade and commerce. Chase was going to be for national business. Bank of America was going to be for mortgages, and Wells Fargo was going to be the People's Bank. And they were going to, be buying out all the banks. Then they went on to show me how UN training of military troops being done on the United States border, and this whole, it's a conspiracy theorist thing that the Chinese are in Mexico. The Chinese are in Mexico. There's several 100,000 troops down there. There's over 100,000 troops of Russians between the Mexican border, El Paso, and all the way up into Montana, wearing the UN uniforms. All you got to do is talk to people in those towns, and I've actually been to the base in El Paso and saw many of those people there. The technology communication between China stealing everything they possibly can, and literally they will, but and Russia and other countries taking the technologies that are meant for improving the environment are actually being twisted to use against us in taking our properties. Last week Bob talked about a situation where a gentleman in Wyoming had all the permits, city, state, and otherwise. He landscaped his property, built like a 4-acre lake, filled it up. It was beautiful. And the EPA came in just after he finished it and told him to take it back to where it was, that he had affected the negative impact on the environment. Well, how can a lake have a negative impact on wildlife? It actually has a positive impact. But they said it had hurt the ecosystem. So he was going to have to go back and fill in the lake, pump all the water out, fill in the lake, replant trees, put rocks back. I mean, it's the most idiotic thing you've ever seen. So it literally is the life and death of our nation. It's the life and death of the different systems and what we're facing. And that's one of the main reasons that you and on this call and those in the Republic have come together, this fight for we the people. We just have to understand that you must recognize that one of our biggest jobs is to educate. Educate people. Educate your own family. Get them to understand. Go to resources like American Policy Center, Tom DeWeese. Go to resources like whylibertymatters.org, which talks about the education side of it. Get involved in action planning with your community. Recognize that the partnerships, find out who the actual just because a company comes in that has a name that's going to partner with your city or your community, find out who the owners are. It can lead you all the way back to Russia or China or Washington, D.C. or other areas. Get involved with that action planning, because if you don't, they're going to implement it and they're going to make it a city law, state law, when it was never intended to be that at all. It was brought in very subtly, brought in as edicts, and is used to implement and take over and monitor our actions. So it's like, think about this. Some of you that live in, like I do, I live in a gated community. And that gated community, as with any other environmental control community, their homeowners association, you can get behind. You can have a paid-for half-million-dollar house and be behind on fines and penalties because you didn't agree with them on what they said on how your fence had to be done, or that you couldn't grow tomatoes in your backyard, and they can actually seize your property through eminent domain through these type structures. And if you don't believe that's happening, all you have to do is go look at what's happened around the United States in many of these areas. So we're in a process of a great educational awakening, and that's why the Republic is so important. That's why what Kelby does, what I do as far as ministry education and getting people to open up their eyes and repent for the sins of the nation and themselves, that they can come back into line with what the plan is. Because if not, then you fall into the cycle of history of destruction. And that cycle of history, I said it last week, and I'm going to say it again. You go from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from great courage to liberty, and from liberty to abundance. We were there in the 90s. And then from abundance to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependence. 47% of the nation is on some government-subsidized program. And from dependency back into bondage. The cycle goes all the way around. This is a quote attributed to Scottish historian Andrew Tyler in 1887. And he was talking about, this is what will happen to our nation if we do not stand on liberty and righteousness and do not allow, you know, it's supposed to be a government of we the people. But it has become a government of decrees and edicts and bondage, and we have become back into bondage. So this whole, my lecture, that's what it is. Kelby's right, I'm a preacher, so I can talk for hours. And I'm a lecturer and a teacher, so I'm going to stop. But I want you all to understand, you have to look at the mega corporations. Not all corporations are bad. There's tremendously good people out there trying to do good things. But then you have to look at, what is Monsanto doing? What is who's the government partnering with? Why? You know, where is it going to take us? You've got to ask the questions. And you need to be active in your community. It's not going to do you a whole lot of good to stand outside and throw rocks, because you're going to end up in a FEMA camp. What has to be done is you have to work to come together, educate, and take stands where it's a coordinated effort, where you work within to change it to the outside. And as these things fall, we can have the opportunity to make a difference. So with that, I yield, and I thank you for your time. The next session is going to be by Dr. Marlene McMillan. She's going to be talking about the education system and where we have to look and what we have to do. And she's considered a foremost speaker on this. She's lecturing around the country on this very thing about core education and the evils of it and how it's part of the Agenda 21 and what we must do as a people. So I yield and I thank you for giving me that time. And Kelby, if you would like to take over and say anything, or Bob.
Yeah, absolutely, Wade. You happened to catch me when I was on the road, just like Bob.
And
like we've had this call. I do have a question for you. Can you tell me about your knowledge base and understanding of how the people have become the surety. And, I mean, I already have an understanding for the answer, but if you could tell me how the people have become the surety for the corporation known as the United States.
Well,
and what your knowledge is on that.
Kelby, you're probably far more knowledgeable than I am. But anytime we go in, and this is one of the things that we dealt with years ago and we're looking at again, and that goes back to we become chattel when we come into the system, and the people literally become a surety. Now, when I sat in on the meetings and they were offering this, let me back step for a minute. Within every organization, there are good guys and bad guys. Even the CIA, NSA, all these areas, there are good circles and bad circles. So I was dealing with the good guys. They were telling me what was getting ready to happen, even though they're involved with the UN at upper levels and the banking community and these things. So I asked them about, I didn't phrase it the same, but I asked them about how are the people going to get set free from this. So I don't know if any of you know who it's called the elders. They control the majority of the gold in the world, and one of the elders came to Obama and offered him $1 trillion 2 years ago. Said he had to use it for some things, and he turned it down. So last week, $131 trillion was offered to take the people out of the bondage of being a surety for debt and mortgages, being a surety for the states. Now, when I say that, when you are born and a birth certificate is given to you, and Kelby, if I'm off base in what you wanted, just tune in here, you have what they consider a value, a life value. And I asked him, I said, all right, I have a brief understanding of this. I said, what is that life value? And he says, the average individual is considered worth $6 million in their life to be traded on the stock exchange and traded on trading platforms. I said, so I have been traded on trading platforms. He said, yes. And you are the surety for the debt for the nation. And I said, all right, based on that, I says, we're sitting here of over $17 trillion that we know that the national debt has been raised to. And he says, and you have registered in this nation, based on birth certificates, approximately 310 million people. And he says, take that and multiply it times 6 million. And I says, well, you're going to come up with 19.8 trillion or whatever it was. And he says, yes. And I said, okay, so what are you saying? He says, a nation's not supposed to go past the extent of the value of their people as the surety for the loans. And I said, so how are you going to deal with this? What are you guys proposing, and what are these elders proposing to try to do? He says, we are going to come in and offer the value of the people plus 3 times to eliminate all human bondage as a surety for debt and to eliminate all mortgages within the nation. Well, naturally, the de facto turned it down because that's not what they want. That's not their plan. And I actually saw books. I actually saw the availability of funds, and I'm probably speaking way out of turn here on this call because these are things that I don't discuss generally on calls. And they broke it down for me, how it was going to be done, what they were doing, what the worldwide plan was to try to counteract the one-world government and the plans for the one-world government. And so there are good guys out there. The Lord has people in every segment who are fighting this one world government, one world Lord, one world church. And I know that some of you are Catholic. Kelby has a Catholic background. He's more of a charismatic out of that group. And it was to tie back into the papal authority. All churches are supposed to come in. And even, you hear the talk about what was the proper term, Kelby, where they're joining Islam and Christianity, Chrislam. You know, and all these things under the one world government, one world religion, and anybody that gets out of whack ends up in these camps. And, you know, a lot of people are saying Jesse Ventura is a nutcase with his videos, but Jesse Ventura has really exposed some serious things. And I've seen the coffin yard that he was at in Georgia. I've been there. I've seen several of the FEMA camps from the outside. They wouldn't, you know, I wasn't allowed to go in. And why are they building half a million square foot control center apartment complexes with high barbed wire fences and towers that you could put weapons in? Why, you know, why is this happening? It's also that one world agenda, one world government. It all goes back to EPA, FEMA, government agencies. And we have to understand, we have to get ourselves educated on these things. And I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm trying to get people to open up their eyes. So again, I'm going to promote American Policy Center. We have nothing to do with American Policy Center. We, the people don't, Republic doesn't, I don't. It's one of the best places you can find about these issues. And then again, why liberty matters. It goes back to the Word of God. Christ didn't come to set the people free. Okay? He came to set the people at liberty. And you can go back and search the scripture and find the Greek and Aramaic, and you'll find that liberty means freedom with responsibility versus freedom with no responsibility, which puts you back into bondage, which goes back to the quote that I read you earlier. So, anything else, Kelby?
Well, you know what? Wait, yeah, you did, and then some. For people that are listening, everything Wade said is truth, and they need to, if you're a Christian, you need to understand that the Bible calls for us not to be surety. And literally, the word for you, if you are a United States citizen under H.J.R. 192, is the surety, the pledge of your birth certificate, which you have been merged to as the surety for the debt of the United States. And you can find what Wade was talking about on the birth certificate's value around page 650 of the Social Security Administrative Act of 1935. And it gives a value of about $1.5 million per year per birth certificate. So what's amazing to me is it's all been open. It's all in the law, and we the people are the backing for the debt against the United States, and so that debt is being called all around the world, and we, like Wade said, there's people on the good and on the bad fighting each other at the top levels, and it's coming to a biblical proportion right now, so I find this conversation fascinating, and I really want to thank you, Wade, for coming on the call, but that is going to conclude our call for this week. Next week we are going to be finishing up this topic, I guess, with Marlene McMillan.
Actually, it's
I'm
the
encouraged
23rd.
About that. Yes, and go ahead.
It's 2 weeks. Forgive me, Kelby, it's 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yes.
2 weeks. So next week are you going to be on?
That's up to y'all and Bob. I mean, there's a ton of information I can bring, just like you can.
Gentlemen, well, if I could interject, I believe Bob has something else scheduled because the lady that is going to come, she couldn't commit till the 23rd. So Bob has something
I
else
understand.
I believe planned for next week.
Excellent.
And Bob has been having trouble, I believe, getting back on the call. There's some trouble with the lines tonight, so he is not with us at the moment.
Not a problem at all. That is going to conclude our call for this week. Again, for anybody that's listening, we do hold these calls every Thursday at 6 p.m. Pacific. We are very much interested in people understanding who we are as a governmental nation on this land. The Republic is very real. It is very real. As a matter of fact, we've just determined as of recent there is a plan to re-inhabit the Republic within the law as a construct of the United States, and we're trying to determine exactly what that construct looks like for us, and we're actually going to make an opportunity for, without getting into detail, like Wade, you know, was talking about, we are very excited about what's happening in this nation. We want to encourage you to stand up and be a part of what's happened here at the Republic for the United States. If you want to hear anything about any call or past call, you can go to republicforunitedstates.org, and that will conclude our call this week. We'll see you next Thursday at 6 p.m. Pacific. And Brenda, if you could close us out with a song, that'd be great. Thank you very much, Wade. Appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
Thanks, Wade. I just got back in. Thanks, everyone.
Better late than never, Bob.
On the road.
Thank you, everyone.
All right.
Good night.
Okay, good night.
Your hand on his Bible, and when you swear to tell the truth, his name is on our greatest monuments, all our money too. And when we pledge allegiance, there's no doubt of where we stand. There's no separation, we're one nation under him. In God we still trust, here in America, He's the one we turn to. Every time the going gets rough, He is the source of all our strength, the one who watches over us. In God we still trust.